know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. This half hour is presented by Gulf Coast Air Care, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. Super excited. Todd St. Orz is here. Good morning.
Well, I've been waiting for this moment for all my week, all my life.
Phil Collins says
yes. There. So.
Well, I'm so excited. You're back.
There's
look
something
refreshed.
In the air. Yeah.
Yes. Hey, well, you got a different
taste of the air.
You
know, I feel compressed because there's so much more air pressure down here at sea level from where I was. So yeah. I'm compressed this morning.
Remind all of our listeners who are probably awaiting to call or text in 850-437-1620 what you got to do this past week.
So I had a milestone birthday, turned 60.
That's right.
And
Happy birthday.
Yeah, we went to Colorado. And one day I was at the top of Pikes Peak, 14,115 feet. Woo. The next day, they took me 1,000 feet underground in a gold mine shaft. So I had the extremes going on. Yeah, it was a lot.
Oh, my goodness.
So one day I was like all loopy, couldn't really breathe very well. The next day, we're all in jackets underground, 1,000 feet, looking for gold nuggets.
So, did you find any?
They gave me a special one for my birthday.
Oh,
so.
I love that. That's
now, if
awesome.
I just had 1,000 gallons of arsenic, I could probably get the little gold dust out of there. So,
yeah, right? Exactly. It's a lot of work.
Let's anyway, so, you know, enough about me. There is something in the air, and it's called rain and humidity and, you know, heat and heat load and heat index. And they don't know what to call heat index out west. It's not because it's, you know, the humidity amplifies the heat down here. So
it does. And there it's just dry and hot. And
right.
You know,
well, it was cool, actually.
Oh.
So it was really cool.
In Colorado.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, yeah, it was
really, you know, everything's green out there, a lot of rain going on. So hopefully the fires won't be as intense. But, you know, and that kind of translates. So Colorado State University, I intended to go there before the Navy entered my life, but that's where they do the hurricane predictions and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if their weather out there affects, you know, how they look at what we got going on. So it's all science, I guess.
Right. Well, and the other thing is too, is like you think about here, we have, oh, it's, you know, 85 degrees. And then you look at the heat index and you're like, okay, I shouldn't be this hot
right.
at 85. But really the heat index, it'll show it's like 99.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
And with humidity breeds all that moisture. With moisture breeds...
So we at the house, we were checking the humidity there, and it averaged about, you know, 35-38%, which is really dry. You know, if you could get 40% down here, you'd feel like you were living in a desert.
Really?
But up there, the days after it rained, you know, and we had a lot of humidity and moisture around 48% relative humidity, which is, you know, that's the ultimate what you want down here.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we should talk about the conditions that we have now. Our air conditioners have been running solid for probably a month and a half, 2 months.
Okay.
I mean, unless you're just toughing it out with, you know, you like it 80 at the house, 80 degrees and 80% humidity, which tells me, so we're on the front end of summer still, but everybody should go out and check their drain line and find out if it's backing up. Because if your drain line clogs up, it is going to back up inside the house.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you can look at that drain line outside by the outside air conditioner and make sure that it's clean, clear water. And if it's not clean, clear water, we should put something down the drain line.
Okay, sure.
To clear it out, right? And I'm just going to let you, I'm going to give you a guess. So do you want to make a guess on what should go down the drain line?
So I'm going to say what shouldn't, and I'm going to go with bleach should not go down the drain line.
That's right, right?
And
what's your husband's name?
His name is Marco.
Marco. No bleach, dude. Use vinegar. Listen to Jenna. She knows what she's talking about. She hangs out with these experts all day, every day. No
you
bleach. Use
have...
vinegar. Because if you use bleach, it
right.
eats up the coil fins.
Okay.
It's really corrosive. And so the vinegar will just clear the junk out of the drain pipe, but it won't harm the air conditioner unit, you know, with the fins and the, sure, the drain pan and all that kind of stuff. But you, the most important thing is you got to keep the water flowing out. The air conditioner running all day, every day, is producing a lot of moisture. It drains off the coil into the drain pipe and then outside the house. And if you don't keep that thing clear, if it's milky or slimy or looks like it's got any boogers out there, get a shop vac on it and suck it out, or pour some vinegar down through the drain line. The bleach thing was a manufacturer's technical bulletin that came out about a year and a half or 2 years ago, and they said, hey, we want to switch people over as an environmental maneuver to not be dumping bleach down through the side of their pipe and coming out on the side of the house. But we know that their coils are not nearly as durable as they used to be, so they want us all using something that will still keep the drain line flowing but not eat up the coil fins. The coil fins are a lot more delicate than they used to be because the government has required us to get more energy efficiency out of our equipment. That's that SEER rating. Used to do 8, 10, 12 SEER ratings. Now it's 14, 16, 18, 20 SEER rating. So it's kind of like a mile per hour or mile per gallon rating on a car.
That's so great. So literally like the daintiness of the coil.
The coils are a lot thinner and they're a lot more closer together. So there's more material in there that bleach could affect. So that's why we want to use vinegar. And cleaning is more important, but you know, they're much more delicate. We've changed some of the cleaning agents and the products that we use for cleaning evaporator coils and units and all that. I mean, I go into these houses and open up the unit and I just see black, furry, moldy, yucky looking stuff in there all the time. And so we have a different approach. Then we don't just hit it with a fire hose anymore. You have to use cleaners that are certified or suitable by EPA registration for cleaning in an air conveyance system and air conditioning system, because you're breathing that air. And you know, so there's a different approach to cleaning these days than there used to be years ago. The cleaning agents and chemicals are not as harsh as they used to be. And same thing with the vinegar towards bleach.
Yeah, we've come a long way with that.
So, Marco,
stuff.
You got that, right? Just you just confirm with
thank you.
When she gets home today, you know, that Jenna has won the battle on this one.
And I know he's listening because he's on his way to work. So that's the funny part.
Right, cool.
So, Todd, we got him. Hey, speaking of which, when it comes to like looking at your unit, one of the things that caught my eye in this month's, we have the newsletter out.
The July newsletter, yep.
Where is it? Oh, the 21-point inspection. And I said, that's a lot of points to check off.
Well, you know, the inspection that we do, we want to look at the duct system and the whole house as a system. So we're looking at insulation levels in the attic and the condition of the ductwork, not to mention all the issues indoor unit and all the issues on the outdoor unit. So there's a lot of stuff that needs to be looking at. You know, if you're going to have a problem on the front end of your air conditioning system on the front end of summer, it's probably already happened by now. You know, because this thing has been working hard. It's been hot and humid down here. So the thing's working really hard already. So in my experience, you know, if you're going to have a problem or a maintenance issue, or if it's something as a result of it not being cleaned, it's already shown itself to you in the fact like, man, we're just fighting this thermostat all the time, or the unit doesn't run right, or we've already had to have a service and repair call out. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, especially with the rain. I feel like it is really, it's going to perpetuate the humidity. And then what do people do? We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking about dehumidification, they lower their AC.
Well, that's the only tool most people have on the wall is a thermostat up or down, you know, and people are driving the temperature down. When you get to that break point, that 70, 71, 72 degrees, sometimes you hit dew point and then it makes things worse. Everything sweats. And, you know, once it starts sweating, then you've got more moisture in the house, not less. So the air conditioner is a really important part of the dehumidification factor. In other words, while the air conditioner's running, it's helping dehumidify. But the ductwork plays a huge role in how efficient all of that happens. You know, like your heart is solid, but if your vascular system doesn't work, you know, that's like the duct system. So if you have a leaky duct system and, you know, super good air conditioner, you're really not getting the full benefit of, you know, the cooling and the dehumidification that your air conditioner provides. And that's something we can help you with at Gulf Coast Air Care. So, you know, if you need an inspection on the ductwork, I see this all the time. There's a company that comes out, they sell you a super duper new equipment setup, and they never look at the duct system. And they just, you know, tear the old one out, hook the new one up, and it makes things worse. It's right. Like, geez, we spent $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 on a new air conditioner. And because nobody ever looked at the duct system and figured out that, wow, we're not getting 3 tons of air, we're getting 2.5 tons of air because of leakage. So things are worse. They're not right. Better. The dust load is, you know, increased because of what's going on with the duct system. So I think it's really important that you have a 21-point inspection instead of an 8-point inspection, or, you know, whatever it would be for somebody who's not looking at the whole house as a system.
Okay, so, yeah, that 21 points will go top to bottom, soup to nuts, start
and,
to
and we don't do that all the time, every time. Obviously, if you have a brand new piece of equipment there.
Sure.
But looking at the duct system is really important. I had several of them earlier on in the summer where, you know, it's a total duct issue. The equipment's fine, and then, you know, either the homeowner or another company wants to blame it on, you know, like, oh, well, you need a new air conditioning system. No, really, you need to have a tune-up and some cleaning done on the equipment and on the duct, some sealing, something like that, where you seal up gaps, cracks, and holes. Well, I've said this before, gaps, cracks, and holes. That's what my business has been about for many, many years.
Exactly. And hey, just a reminder, you're listening to Pensacola Expert Panel with Todd St. Orr from Gulf Coast Air Care, 850-437-1620. You can text. We'd rather have you call. We love having the conversations.
Sure.
But we do have a text coming in. I have a black like mark, which is so, this text is important. Let me just tell you,
okay,
our listener, because I read the newsletter, mm-hmm. and then this question came in. I have a black like mark next to the air vent on my ceiling. I noticed it specifically in one room, but now I'm starting to notice it in a couple other rooms of my house. Home is about 1375, excuse me, for square footage. So a black like mark next to you. But
that's,
we talked
an easy
about
one
this.
To explain, right? And a lot of people don't realize. So there's probably a 10x6 register up there on the ceiling, mm-hmm. in each room. 10 inches wide, 6 inches deep. The sheetrock is cut bigger than that. So the sheetrock is cut 10.25x6.25. And when you put the vent over it, it covers that little gap. But what's happening is that little gap between the sheetrock and what we call the boot, where the register or the vent actually attaches, there's a little gap there. So the cold air is coming through the boot into the vent and then into the room.
Mm-hmm.
That little gap around there is a dust and heat load pathway from the attic. So what happens is the cold air is coming from the attic or the duct, and the hot air is coming through that little gap in the attic. And what happens is that metal register gets to dew point. So it's sweating like the outside of a glass of iced tea. And it's got dust and particulate coming in from around the vent from the attic because of that little gap. So when we take the registers down to do the duct cleaning, we put duct mastic or sealant around that little gap and fix that. So it's called, there's not a super easy way to describe this, but so if you have a straw, a drinking straw on a, you know, a drink with a hole in it, and mm-hmm. you can't pick up that, you know, so that's exactly what's going on in opposite at that thing there. So the airflow is coming through the vent and it creates that suction around the vent, and it pulls that dust and that hot air and mixes hot and cold right there at the boot, right there in the room, and it leaves black spotting, staining. You'll see water stain. You'll see that's what causes the vents to sweat.
So, and then you see the little rust marks.
Yeah,
sometimes.
You see rust marks or water stains. And if you've got dust or particulate in there or high humidity on a regular basis, it'll turn black, and then you're getting microbial growth.
Ooh.
So that's an easy fix, but it's a very common thing that we see, and people are like, oh my gosh, my ducts are filthy, dirty. Well, they might be, but it might be something minor, just like fixing that gap, crack, or hole around there.
Okay.
And so we see that little, you know, sometimes you pull it down and you look at that vent and it's like, well, I don't see a really big gap there. If you can stick a piece of paper up through there, that's enough airflow, because the vent's pushing airflow out into the room. I mean, you got 80 or 90 or 100 basketballs of air, cubic foot per minute, coming through that vent. And so it sucks on that little gap, crack, and hole around there, and it pulls that dust load and that particulate. And, you know, the attics right now are, it's 120, 130, 140 degrees up there.
Yeah.
You know, so you're mixing that hot air with the cold air that's coming through the duct to try and keep the house at a good temperature. And so that's why you're getting that
that
marks up there. Yeah, and it's just something that people are kind of not aware of.
I mean, have they ever thought about not making that hole bigger, but, you know, on the
Well, what happens is the HVAC guys rough in the vent during construction,
sure.
And then the sheetrock guys just cut the hole and put it up there. Nobody ever addresses that little gap, because when you put the vent over it, it covers that.
But you
really need to have the sealant behind there before you put the vent up over that gap or that vent box there.
And so when you do your inspection, is that something that you look for when it comes to the gaps,
yeah,
cracks, and holes?
You know, all my guys plus myself, we have a trained eye to look for that kind of stuff, and then it's an easy fix because we're going to take the vents down when we do the duct cleaning process anyways, and then we just put that sealant on there. And we buy sealant in a special way in a caulk tube, because it normally comes in buckets and you have to smear it on or paint it on with gob it on there.
Right,
the bigger the glob, the better the job. Is all sometimes what I say. But in this case,
I heard a little dabble do you.
Yeah,
but that's
a little
one,
dabble
Todd.
Do you in this case. That's right. So that's the dippity do flashback. Oh man, how old am I again? I'm having a flashback.
It's okay.
Here,
so. I know it. So yeah, it's okay. So.
But anyway, so that we beat that horse to death. But
that
if we can help you with that,
good reminder.
And we have people that want to DIY that, so we'll set you up with some tubes of caulk and you can go at it. But if you haven't ever done that before, it's like sometimes it's best to call the professionals. Gulf Coast Air Care, 850-934-2768. Our website is gulfcoastaircare.com. And, you know, we're happy to help you, coach you, or just kind of give you a second opinion about, you know, what's going on. And a lot of times you've had this problem for a long time, and it wasn't until you changed that air conditioner last summer or this year, and it, all of a sudden it's amplified. Because
right.
We got a super strong new air conditioner, super efficient, and it's pushing through the same old duct system with those gaps, cracks, and holes in it.
Sure.
So that's where now all of a sudden it shows up. You know, my old bucket example of there's water in every bucket.
Yes.
You know, that's a normal fungal ecology. You have spores in every house. It's when the bucket overflows that you start seeing issues like the black spotting and the allergies and the sinus and the coughing and the itchy eyes and all sorts of things, because we've got a combination or we've got an equation and we've changed the balance of it a little bit.
Sure.
By changing the equipment or not cleaning a duct or not doing a duct seal. And then it amplifies and it makes things worse.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you think you're doing something good
right.
by getting that new system, but when you don't have right. the ductwork checked as well, it can become
you know, and
bad.
Filtration is really important. You know, people always ask, like, what can I do and what do I need you guys to do? And, you know, good filtration. You know what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter.
You are one.
You are one, that's right.
Check your air filter.
And it's important to get good filtration in place and keep up with it. And that will take your dust load down, you know, significantly. But if you have gaps, cracks, and holes or leakage, then that's something that the air filter may help you minimally, but you might need additional things. And that's where you call Gulf Coast Air Care. You know, we've got 27 years experience doing
that's
this,
right.
almost 28. And so, you know, we're not newbies fresh off the boat doing stuff that, you know, we have never done before. It's something that has developed over a long period of time, our experience and our, you know, just kind of understanding how to look at a system as the whole house as a system.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, the windows and the roofing and the where the dryer vent is and the insulation and the duct system and the equipment and, you know, all of that goes into the factor of looking at good indoor air quality, because that's where we're at. We're in this indoor air quality niche, this, you know, really kind of specialized area where, you know, our definition of clean and a lot of other guys' definition of clean is different, because we're doing one house at a time and they have to do, you know, 6 or 8 service calls a day. And so it's like, yep, it's cool and I'm out, you know, and they're on to the next one, where, you know, we look at things and go, well, you know, we can kind of tweak this a little bit.
It's better to get in depth than just, you know, again, stick another Band-Aid on it and move on.
Well, it's, you know, house doctoring is just like regular doctoring. You want to go to a specialist when you need a specialist, you know. Overall, if you're happy with your house, that's good. But when you need a specialist, you want to be able to go somebody that can pinpoint, you know, what exactly is going on. And it's just like, you know, a doctor with a specialist. It's not nearly that in depth or, you know, but it's a good analogy.
Right. And a lot of people, you get like those coupons in the mail, like $20 to check your air ducts.
Yeah, boy.
I know I can see your face. I'm sorry. I just touched a nerve.
Okay.
Yeah.
You get what you pay for.
You get it. Maybe, you know, save a little. Will you save yourself in the end? Are you going to save your lungs in the end?
You know, it's really important to get second opinion if you feel like you need that. So.
Oh, absolutely. 850-437-1620. We have a couple minutes left. Here's a text. Attic fans, what are your opinions on them? I used to have them when I was a kid, and my grandmother always said they worked. Are they out of touch now?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different types of thing, and she may be talking about that big square whole house ventilating attic fan in the hallway. I mean, it's like 3 foot by 4 foot square. You would turn that on and exchange all the air in the house. Well, that's probably before there was central air conditioning and they just ventilated the house. And if you still have one of those, you can leave that there, but it needs to be sealed between the conditioned and unconditioned space. So in other words, if you've got one of those big boxes or louver things, it is leaking like Omar's tent in the house, in the attic, and you need to have that thing sealed up because it's bad. If you have a powered attic ventilator at your roof line and you're pulling a pressure across your attic, it sucks on all the gaps, cracks, and holes, and it's causing air conditioning to get sucked out through the attic. So I'm not, you know, and it sounds smart to have a powered attic ventilator, you know, sucking the hot air out of your attic. But what you're doing to replace that hot air that you're sucking out is you're right. sucking on conditioned air that you're paying for from the house. And you'll draw in more humid air in through your attic soffits and through your gable vents and that sort of thing. So if you have a powered attic ventilator, just de-energize it. You know, a lot of them they don't come on till 120, 130 degrees. Just de-energize that thing. You can still have that passive hole there that allows the heat to rise and go out.
Sure.
But when you put a fan across the attic and you pull pressure across that space, you are asking for trouble.
Oh.
And it seems counterintuitive, like, well, it's hot up there. I want to suck the air out.
Right.
Yeah, but.
Okay.
And it's just a building science principle. We try not to get in, and I don't have time to get into it today. Powered attic ventilators and those old whole house attic fans that are in the ceiling that have that massive, you know, those shutters open and it I see houses that still have them in there. You want to de-energize those and have them removed or box that whole thing. And I see a lot of houses, old houses in North Hill and East Hill and in those kind of areas. That's the attic access now, and it's huge. I mean, they're massive. They're not just that little scuttle hole that I can't fit this body into. So they're big. And so, but that's a leak point between your conditioned and unconditioned space. So in other words, the house and the attic. And you want to have all that covered up. We don't need any fans in our attic. Bad idea.
Okay. So, out with the old, seal it up.
Yeah, seal it up.
You can just leave it there and then seal it
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. And it's okay to leave the opening if you have that at the roof line, because the trend is to go to ventilated attic, but less ventilation. You know, we're starting to see these foamed roof decks and all that kind of stuff. That's the trend where we're going to. In new construction, it's great. In retrofit, sometimes that can be a challenge. So you can leave that fan.